Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Sports Radio 92 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you. The phone number is always 404-726-0929. We're talking about... we're talking about the Falcons. Of course we are. We're still recapping the draft, the seven rounds of the NFL draft. And what was most surprising to you, as it turns out, the pick of Michael Penix was not the most surprising thing. The trading up to get Rook, Roro, is not the most surprising thing, going up eight spots, because they look at Rook and say, okay, he's a first-round value. What was most surprising was that Rook and Brandon Dorlus, and I even go down to the seventh-round pick in Zion Logue from Georgia, who I think is a steal, by the way, at seventh. Is there a Georgia fan out there that doesn't agree with me that Zion Logue could be a steal at the seventh round? Is that they went so heavily into the interior line of the defense. I wasn't really anticipating that being a focal point of day two and day three. I thought secondary, you know, but apparently they're comfortable with Anthony Hamilton and Kevin King. Well, good God, that would be a story if Kevin King turns into something. Dude hadn't played in 3 years. Well, highly touted coming out, right, and hadn't played in 3 years. And, you know, opposite A.J. Terrell, and if they're comfortable with DeMarco Helms at safety, you know, and they figure that they can cover for that by getting pressure up the middle and working inside out on the defensive line, whatever Jimmy Lake is thinking. I mean, I'm just kind of trying to break down why they went so heavily into the interior defensive line here. But I could be wrong here. Look, it's been graded as the worst draft in the NFL. Helmethead said it was the worst draft in the NFL. Somebody else posted it. I tweeted it out that it was the worst draft in the NFL based on some pie chart that some dude who's like, you know, picking his nose in his mom's basement came up with. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, all right, am I making a mistake here? Because when the Braves were sucky at the end of Turner Field, right, in that kind of transition period between, you know, along came Jones, everybody named Jones, and the current crew, you know, that went to the World Series. In that kind of four-year end of the Freddie Gonzalez period, remember that, where we were kind of sucky? And we had, like, you know, Justin and BJ and Melvin and Cade and everybody named Upton in the outfield. And I thought, oh, here we go. You know, we're getting everybody named Upton, you know, and we're off to the races. We got Jay Hay. We got, like, nine players named Upton. We're going to be fine. Oh, no, we weren't fine. I was just sort of ahead of the curve here because Freddie was such a young player. Dansby really hadn't arrived yet. And it took us to kind of get to Turner Field before it kind of all started to click. And so I was just a little bit ahead of where they were heading. I don't think I'm a little bit ahead of where the Falcons are heading. I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm ahead of it because I think the Falcons actually dragged what they should have been last year. The reason Arthur Smith got fired is because they did not live up to what that team was capable of doing, even including the injuries to Grady and to Troy Andersen. They dragged. They underperformed. I could argue that they may have slightly overperformed in the previous 2 years. Certainly they slightly over. In year one with the end of Matt Ryan, maybe they overperformed. In year two, they absolutely overperformed for Arthur Smith, which is why all of us bought in. Well, if you overperform in year two, because he overperformed. He put Marcus Amariola at quarterback. Oh, my God. And the Island King, you know, stuck us in hand grenade land. And the next thing you know, we've got DoorDash out there trying to make, you know, something at the end of the season. And so we all bought into he overperformed in year two into that that was going to translate to year three. And we got nothing. We got flatline and actually backwards. And so I, if that team underperformed, which I sincerely believe that it did, then I look at a, you know, kind of a new, fresh look at this with a, you know, there's no question that Raheem Morris is an upgrade from Arthur Smith in personality, right? I mean, how that translates here, but it's also an upgrade in the fact that he's not got his nose, you know, buried in the Waffle House menu because he's going to delegate stuff, which allows him to attack since he's coached both sides of the ball, was the secondary coach, was the passing game coordinator of the Falcons, has coached all, been a defense coordinator, has coached both sides of the ball to address areas of concern where he can help Zach Robinson or help Jimmy Lake and really kind of focus and hone in on an area to allow his coordinators to do their jobs and be the head coach for the entire team and not have to do a dual role. Everybody talks, oh, we don't want a head coach and general manager. I don't want a head coach and coordinator. I've never been into that because I think you're too focused on trying to do the coordinator's job that you miss some of the other things as a head coach. I've never been a real super, you know, well, Belichick did it. Well, Belichick had Brady, for crying out loud, dude. It's like when you're coaching Michael Jordan, you roll out the ball and go, hey, throw it. It's not hard, okay? But when you're dealing with a rook, essentially, a quarterback, so they underperformed. So I don't think I think they're dragging, and I expect them to be on a measure considerably better, and I expected that pre-draft, and I consider it post-draft. I'm not throwing the draft away. I'm saying that the draft didn't hurt them. Oh, yeah, as if it hurt them. The draft, they got enough here. They didn't do it. As if it hurt. They didn't. Well, John, they didn't help themselves. They could have gotten a starter there. You know, maybe, unless they look at Braylon Trice and say, you know what? You're missing something here. Braylon Trice is every bit as good on our board as Latu and Turner. We've got him even. Well, how can they say that? Well, because look at his, you know, what he did at Washington. You know, again, if Braylon Trice had played for Georgia, you'd be, oh, wow, we got Braylon Trice. You know, I mean, so, again, it's you cover what you can see here. 404-726-0929. More of your calls here as we get kind of rounded into shape here. Let's go with Lee. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show.
Yes, I was very enthusiastic about the whole draft. I think they did a good job. I think getting Pinnick was a great thing to do because you don't know what's going to happen in the future and you need a good quarterback. And that certainly is my opinion, a great quarterback at the way he played at Washington. So I'm real happy about that. But I did have a question. Is it today that they start trying to get other, you know, free agents and stuff like that?
Well, they've already started that.
Okay.
Rookie free agents, they've already started to say that happens immediately after the draft. They start signing guys.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled. I just think I live with them. I think we got a good coach. I think we got a real good general manager. I think they know what they're doing. And I've never missed a game since the first game the Falcons had. So I'm ecstatic about what we got at this point.
Well, I'm certainly hopeful. I can understand though why some people, and I appreciate the phone call, Lee. I can understand why some people are not. I mean, that's why I started the show with the question: do the Falcons suck? Because I have so many people on the X Twitter telling me Falcons suck. All right. So if they suck, then that's fine. And I've had a couple of callers who have said, come in here and said, they botched this draft. They suck. They could have really taken a big step with this draft, and instead they didn't help themselves at all. You can't say they hurt themselves because they didn't hurt themselves. It's just not true. But you could say they didn't help themselves. Okay, fine. They didn't help themselves immediately. Maybe they helped themselves in 3 years if Penix ever plays. Maybe. And, you know, hopefully they don't have to see Penix play for 3 years because that would not be good because that means that this guy is either just lost it or he's injured, and I don't want either of those things to happen. Let's go to and if you do and if you're rooting for that, you're rooting for the wrong thing. Let's go to Frank. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, man, listen, I'm not liking what Terry Fontenot's doing. Listen, I mean, Raheem Morris, this is his first year, but this is Terry Fontenot's fourth year. And I'm like, I get it, 3 years ago, you know, when Arthur Smith first got here, people said the first thing he should have did was grab this franchise quarterback. I mean, that's what Thomas Dimitroff did with Mike Smith, and that's how they were able to last a long time. But, you know, they tried to get cute and draft a darn tight end instead that we didn't need. And so, I mean, now Raheem Morris is coming in. He's like, I want to make that
franchise quarterback. Are you talking about Justin Fields?
Justin Fields, you needed a quarterback. I mean, I get it. Hindsight.
I'm just asking if you're talking about him in particular.
No, not anyone in particular. I just say we need a franchise quarterback. And that's what you should have went after first. I mean, the fact that you didn't is the reason why you're making moves now. Then the following year, when Matt Ryan said he was open to, you know, teaching a future quarterback, you go out and try to grab Deshaun Watson. And then you lose the best quarterback in Falcon history. I mean, this is all Terry Fontenot. And then, I mean, when you actually do a decent job in drafting like a running back who gives you 1,000 yards, you draft another darn running back. I mean, none of Terry Fontenot's picks, at least in the first round, have made any sense. And now Kyle Pitts, people don't even know if you're going to renew his fifth option. Like, he might not even be here. So that's already one of his picks that may be out the door after this year. So, and then now, Mike, I have no issue with Michael Penix. I mean, I think he's a great quarterback. And had you not gone after Kirk Cousins, then I think that would have been the correct move. But Kirk Cousins, I thought, was brought here to be the guy. I mean, people were hyping him up, talking about embrace the culture and everything. And now he's just a bridge.
I'm just going back here because I just want to go back. All right, so Terry Fontenot's first draft, right? Because I just want to go back because I want to be accurate here. Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick. And of course, you didn't have the number one pick. Then it goes Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Kyle Pitts. Okay, so they take Kyle Pitts as their first draft pick, right? And then the quarterbacks that you could have taken after Kyle Pitts, let's go down here. Justin Fields was taken 11th by the Bears. Mac Jones was taken 15th by Alabama. And so, I mean, the options would have been Kyle Pitts, Justin Fields, Mac Jones.
They
didn't have Penei Sewell ahead of Kyle Pitts on their board, so. I mean,
yeah, we could also put you the general manager.
So everybody should take a Tom Brady, right? I mean, you just can't do that. You have to be true to your board. So they have taken the number one. One thing that's true about them is that you can say what you like. They have taken the highest rated player on their board, best player. They are best player available in round one, and Kyle Pitts was the highest rated player on the board when they came to draft. Okay, that was the highest rated player. And then Drake London was their highest-rated player. Then Bijan was their highest-rated player, and Michael Penix was their highest-rated player. It just so happened they all happened to be on the offensive side of the football. But then again, most of the draft picks this year in the first round were offense anyway, is that they just took the best player available. And so I can't blame them for doing that, I guess. I mean, I think all four of them have potential to be star players.
But John, how does that work for you? I mean,
Well, it works for you if you win the NFC South this year and win 12 games. It works for you, right?
How about finishing above 500? You haven't even done that. So how does this work for you? So this is year four now, and everybody thinking that with Kirk Cousins now, I mean, he was brought in to be the man. That now everybody who said embrace Kirk Cousins is pretty much labeling him as a bridge. I'm like, you could have gotten paid less for a bridge, a Gardner Minshew, a Jacoby Brissett, if you just wanted to, you know, have a year for Michael Penix to get ready. You didn't have to spend $100 million
Let's say you did that. All right, wait, hang on. See, this is why you got to be careful what you're talking about here, because you're telling me, all right, so let's work this out here, okay? Let's say that you had gotten Gardner Minshew, and he's going to be our bridge guy to our quarterback, and we're going to take Michael Penix. Oh, hell, I didn't expect somebody to jump up and Joe Alt just dropped him, and they're going to take Michael Penix. Oh, what do we have left? Bo Nix? So you'd rather have, like, Gardner Minshew and Bo Nix? I mean, we can't know this. You don't know that Michael Penix is going to be sitting there at 8, right? You don't know it. They had to go out there and do their due diligence, because if Michael Penix was gone, they weren't going to trade up for him.
No, but then why was this a surprise? Nobody had Michael Penix being taken in the top five.
No, that's not true.
I, Come on, you might
they
have
did.
One or two boys. No, we were the only ones. That's why everyone else was shot.
Where do you? Okay, those, wait a second. Hang on. Because this is interesting to me. Rank the quarterbacks. Hang on. Follow me.
The quarterback.
Hang
Come on.
No, of course I didn't.
You didn't have them taking the quarterback.
I don't know that they, I was not aware till post-draft that they had him ranked number two on their board. Okay? This is why they flew to Seattle to make sure that they weren't making a mistake.
That doesn't make it right.
I'm asking your opinion here. I trust their opinion over mine. But I'm asking your opinion. Rank the quarterbacks as they were drafted. How would you rate them? Caleb Williams, one?
No, I give Jaden Daniels one.
Okay, so you got Jaden Daniels. Well, who's two? Okay, who's three?
Three, I would have my opinion, based on skill alone, Michael Pence would be three.
Oh, okay. Well, the third best quarterback. I agree. They got him with the eighth pick.
Remember, John, I told you I didn't have an issue with Michael Penix. It's what you did before you got him. There was no need to grab Kirk Cousins if you're going to have him with Michael Penix.
Well, but if Michael Penix is gone, you're going to be stuck
now.
Okay. Right. Quick break. Again, this goes kind of the larger thing. All right, Gardner Minshew and Bo Nix. How we doing on that? Are we good? Are we all good? Eric Slaughter, you good? Gardner Minshew, Bo Nix, you good?
No, I'll take neither one of those.
Yep. I have whole CDs of them. That's like I'm stuck between the funk side of me on one side in the 70s and the heavy metal kind of guitar side of me. I had both sides. So you would catch me with all that stuff. I like, all right, I got a cameo. Cameo was in the 70s, but Ohio Players and, you know, and Rufus and all that kind of stuff going over here at Parliament. And then I got, all the hard, heavy, you know, Boston, Kansas, Jethro Tull, everything else I could, Black Sabbath, you know, that's all going over here. That's just a musically different time where, you know, top 40 and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I grew up with. I'm not intending to argue with anybody. Welcome back to the show, John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios. It's not my intention. It's trying to dissect where you're coming from because I got a little confused on the previous caller a little bit, you know, as if Michael Penix was automatically going to be there when you drafted. Oh, well, just sign Gardner Minshew and then we'll draft Michael, as if he was automatically going to be there. Or if you remember when they went to Seattle to confirm this, that was post Kirk Cousins. And is Gardner Minshew, the selection of Michael Penix wasn't about, you know, we don't have faith in Kirk Cousins. It wasn't about entirely a succession plan, but in part a succession plan, or entirely, but not necessarily in total, about an insurance policy. It was, oh my God, we can't pass on this guy. This is an imperfect science. Zach Wilson was taken second in the draft. Trey Lance was taken third in the draft. And Kyle Shanahan, this noted guy, takes Trey Lance third. He trades up to get Trey Lance at number three, ends up starting the guy that was drafted dead last and turns him into Brock Purdy. Lamar Jackson is taken 32nd, last pick of round one. Well, I guess we missed that. Boy, do we suck. We passed on Lamar Jackson. Baltimore took him in the 32nd and last pick. Man, we suck. Of course, we had Matt Ryan at the time, but still, we should have been thinking about the future. We suck. Well, you took it to Lamar Jackson, you got Matt Ryan. Okay. You can't win for losing. That's all I can say sometimes. You just can't. Let's go to Allison. Hey, Allison, what's up?
Hey, what's up, John? I tell you what, as my mother would say, Falcons fans are the same people who would complain if Jesus came down here and played Gabriel's trumpet. They just can't be happy about nothing. God bless us. what I want to say is I'm not too high on the pick, not too low on the pick. I just got an even keel. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Terry and Raheem know what they're looking for. You don't take the brain trust all the way to Seattle just to say, maybe we'll take this guy. They know what they're doing. We got to trust that they know what they're doing. here's the other thing, too. Like you said, it's all an imperfect science. It's a crapshoot because for every you know, sure thing out there, there's a Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? And just like what you said, Baltimore did take Lamar Jackson with the 32nd pick, but they traded up to do that. And that was Ozzie Newsome's last pick as a general manager for the Baltimore Ravens.
No, and Ozzie Newsome did a phenomenal job in building, you know, a great franchise out of what used to be the Cleveland Browns there in Baltimore. He did a phenomenal job. And he built it with an emphasis.
Guess who his first pick was?
On one side of the
ball. Guess who his first pick was when he was a...
I don't know, Ray Lewis.
Well, his first pick when he was the general manager of Baltimore, no, Jonathan Ogden.
Jonathan Ogden. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, okay. Now you mentioned, Jonathan Ogden.
Jonathan Ogden.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He got scorched. But again, Jonathan Ogden became a what? All pro. Protected
multi-year all pro
that they had.
Yep.
So, yeah.
He was a brick house on that offensive line. Right? No, you're right. You don't know how this is going to play out.
He sure was.
Allison, when I said yesterday, I'll repeat it again today. When I taught, and you know, I don't know that I want to teach again. Teaching is all you teachers out there. God love you. I have to tell the story about how I got in so much trouble with the dean. Oh my God, did I get in trouble with the dean? Because they gave me this book that I had to, all the students had to buy. It was like at the time it was expensive, $25. Now that gets you like a ham sandwich at McDonald's. But at the time, $25 was expensive. And I looked at the book and I went, oh, this book is like 12 years outdated. And it was. And I held it up. I said, don't bother to buy the book. It's outdated. The dean drags me into the office and says, they have to buy the book. It's my book. Oh, okay. So, I guess you got to buy a book that we're never going to crack. So buy the book. Anyway, I was teaching and I would say, look, one of the things.
We never buying. There you go.
I know. This is junior college, Chattanooga State, And I said, look, you can never end a story with only time will tell. But of course, only time will tell. You know, I mean, you know, the police say that this is going to work out, but we don't know. Only time will tell. Well, of course. We don't. That's how it is. Only time will tell. And so you can't do that. But there's a truth in it too. There's a nugget of truth in it, because only time does tell. How's this going to play in 2 or 3 years? By the way, the Falcons draft, Allison. I want to remind everybody that screaming at Terry Fontenot. You know, the Falcons draft last year was pretty darn good. They had a really good draft. Everybody was criticizing it at the time. It turned into a really good draft.
Because everybody that was drafted made the team. How many times has that happened in our lifetime? And I remember when you were here the first time in Atlanta on radio. And, I mean, good Lord, man, you and I could just sit here and write a book and just sit and get several large bottles of alcohol and go over all the bad coaches we've had.
Yeah, but then it'd be falling asleep and you'd be saying, wake up, John.
We didn't need a new liver. Right. Exactly.
I God love you, Allison.
It would not make for good radio if you and I went over that.
Well, it would for 15 minutes or so. It'd probably go downhill after that.
It would. Take care. Thanks, man.
All right. That's Allison. Yeah, because DeMarco Helms was the last pick. Then Clark Phillips was the next. Zach Harrison, Matthew Bergeron, Bijan Robinson. That's a pretty damn good draft. That's all I can tell you. 404-726-0929. As we get to your calls here and your reaction, let's go to Smooth, our old buddy Smooth. Hey, Smooth, what up?
Hey, John. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, man. Allison was right on the spot, man. First of all, Atlanta, y'all need to slow down and chill, man. The same people that's complaining about this thing were the same ones that was complaining about Bijan. Oh, why we take that pick? Now everybody love him. So it's like you said, you can't predict the draft. The guy that said Gardner Minshew, man, are you crazy? Gardner Minshew is not better than Kirk Cousins. So we got the best free agent quarterback, and everybody keeps saying, but we paid the money. It's not your money, so why are you worried about it? He was the best free agent, the quarterback, and we needed a quarterback. Now we took care of the present, but then when you get an opportunity to take a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent like Michael Penix, because if Kirk Cousins works, we won't be in the top 10 again for the next few years. So to get a good quarterback, because Kirk Cousins ain't going to be here forever, to get a good quarterback, we secured the present and the future. Not only that, we did handle the defense. So, if anything, Terry and Raheem know what they're doing. We got to trust the process. You know what I'm saying? If anything, I just wish we get us a cornerback. But other than that, man, stop tripping, Atlanta. Yeah, I wanted Dallas. But you know what? When you sit back and listen to it and rationalize it, yo, you can't pass on that dude. He's the best pure passer in that draft. And now we probably got the second best quarterback room in the NFL. So,
well, man, and we have the best quarterback room that we've had probably since 2016 when we had Ryan and still had, you know, a viable Matt Schaub, you know, in 2015, 2016, because Matt Schaub would come in and he came in one game, threw for 400 yards, and you know, with the guy with the background that he had, and was a starter for this team too, we went from noodle arm quitter and DoorDash Dez. And the worst quarterback room in the NFL to this, and people want to be angry. Okay.
Right.
All right.
In 5
years,
the same people that's saying it's going to be like, oh, man, we got the best quarterback in the world. Y'all keep that same energy in 5 years. Keep the same energy. Appreciate it,
Thanks, Smooth, as always. Do appreciate you. Let's get to Michael here. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show. John Fricke with you till the top of the hour here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. It's been a spirited discussion today, Michael, I would say.
Yes, it has, and I came in late. So I think the reason that Rasheem Morris came here was because of Terry Fontenot's drafts the past 3 years. He probably looked at the team and said, we have a pretty good offense there, and I can make this the Atlanta Rams or L.A. Falcons, however you want to look at it. But I think this draft he did really well in. This is a what-if draft to me. This is what if Kirk Cousins goes down on the fourth play like Aaron Rodgers did in the first game. Everybody goes, oh, well, we got another lost season. No, we actually have somebody that might actually be able to step in and take this team at least to the playoffs maybe. What if Grady Jarrett can't play all the snaps because he doesn't come back from his ACL as well as we think? Well, now we have some interior linemen. What if we go to a 4-3? We've got an edge rusher. Trice, I think, is his name and from Washington. Had more hurries than anybody else, if I heard right, either in the Pac-10 or the nation. You don't necessarily have to sack the quarterback, you just have to make him uncomfortable back there. And apparently that may be our strategy, is just to get to the quarterback faster than maybe he can read for our defense. And my last point would be, Rasheem knows the defensive secondary. I don't know if he's been here long enough to go through all our players, but if there's one thing he can coach, it's the secondary. So maybe that's what he was looking at with Fontenot in the draft. But I think Fontenot did a good job. I think the Falcons are poised for success. Finally, nobody knew that Ritter wouldn't work out or that Mariota wouldn't work out. That unfortunately happened. Long-suffering Falcons fan. But I think we're poised now. We got a good guy driving the car in Cousins, and we got a good guy in backup for Penix. I think Fontenot did an excellent job. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, Michael. I understand where Michael's coming from, and yes, there's something to be said for insurance policies and for backups and for having depth on a team. There's no question of that. This is it's a violent game. Injuries happen. And, you know, the Falcons suffered through two key injuries on defense last year, losing for half a season Grady Jarrett and then Troy Anderson. And we all know that. We understand that. This is part and parcel of what happens here in the NFL, and you have to have a backup plan if in that case. But I don't believe that this draft is that. I really don't. Michael Penix wasn't drafted as a backup plan, okay? Penix was drafted because he's going to be a future star. That he is a backup plan is a plus-plus. That's all. And Ruka Hororo is not being drafted as a backup. I think they're looking at Ruka and saying, we think he could slide in as a starter. And Braylon Trice is not being drafted as a backup plan. I think Braylon Trice is going to push for, you know, rotational starter. Starter is a different thing. Really, on the defensive line from edge to edge, I mean, Grady's a starter. Onyemata's a starter. Zach Harrison's a starter. But then the other guys are kind of like, who has the kind of the lead rotational in that? Is it a Rook? Is it Trice? Is it Dorlus? Is it, you know, where does Zion Logue fit into that as a seventh-round pick? Because I think Zion Logue can make the team as a seventh-round pick. I don't think they went, Actually, I think it was late sixth, Zion, so I don't understand. Wait, who's on the board? Who? Is there a Georgia? Can we take a Georgia player just to make those people happy at Athens? Okay, yeah, take whatever. Take that dude. No, that's not what they did. They looked and said, that dude can plug a hole. Where's he playing? Oh, they even better. Take him. Quick break on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think he was like a one-hit wonder. I think this was his only hit. Cars was that was kind of it.
Totally, but it was a good one though. I thoroughly enjoyed
it. It was
that
a good
song.
One. But you don't have to cut him so short. You can let him play out. I mean, you already did, but just yeah. I mean, people in the '80s are going, "Hey, in Cars." The music of the '80s, the techno pop music of the '80s, was. I mean, it was kind of enjoyable. It was different. It was sort of the disco of the '80s, for lack of a better term. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, Eric Slaughter, has been an interesting day. I figured it would be, given a four-hour show and given the fact that there were going to be a variety of opinions on what the Atlanta Falcons have done. As you kind of assess what you've heard today, you know, where do you stand here? Again, I'll repeat where I stand. You can tell me where you stand. I think the Falcons were, based on what they had done in the offseason and in the coaching change, what they had returning, and where I think the franchise is based on the teams relative to them and their own division, were the solid favorites to win the NFC South. And I don't think they did any damage to that in the draft. I think some people think they damaged themselves. Now, if you want to say they didn't help themselves as immediately as they possibly could have, you could probably make that case. That, you know, I'm not going to argue that. But I think there's an assumption here that they actually hurt themselves, which I'm like, what are you talking about?
Okay, I will go right in the middle. Yes, I still believe they are the favorites to win the NFC South. What they did not do is make themselves a favorite to reach the Super Bowl or catch up to the 49ers or Lions by not getting a guy in the first round that will immediately make that impact. They should still win the division, still hopefully host a playoff game, and then go into the second game and see what happens. You would think that if they would say, great, we win a division, but how do we get closer to the 49ers and the Lions, and we do that by bringing in a guy that's going to be a front runner for defensive player of the year or something like that. That's probably where we're not going to be. I would say this too, and I really like the way you made me open my eyes here, John. Like you said, they're building that front from the middle out. And what they brought in could really be, I mean, we could be really tough to run against. And that also can improve your pass rush. There's a lot of ways, like you said, to improve a pass rush. Scoring points, staying on the field and having longer drives so that your defense isn't winded. And if you can't run on us, we know you got to throw it. So, I mean, let's wait and see. I'm optimistic. I'm still very optimistic. And I'm still very excited for this season.
Yeah, me too. And however you break it down, look, I will say this. I think the franchise is headed in the right direction. If we circle back to the end of the year and the debacle that happened against the Swampers, and not just in the way that team kind of just stopped at the end of the game and it just got out of hand and the ridiculous touchdown they scored, and Arthur Smith running on the field screaming as if that made any difference here, it was just such a sour ending to what had been a disappointing year. A year that frankly, that I think all of us anticipated would be far better at the beginning of the season, because we anticipated that we said the quarterback, look, all DoorDash had to do was just be a distributor, be a point guard. He doesn't have to win your games, just don't lose your games, and a losing game after game after game after game.
Well, not until after he started 2-0. Boy, when we were 2-0 walking out of MBS, we thought the sky couldn't have been brighter. I mean, it changed quickly.
It changed quickly, and so I think if you look at this was a team that went into the draft with what I thought were two spots that they could have drafted starters into on the entire team. Okay, on the entire starting 22, I think they had 20 starters set going into the draft. 20. There was no starting position open on the offense at all. All the offense was set. I mean, if Malik Nabers had fallen to you, can you make an argument that you could have taken Malik Nabers and put him in front of Darnell Mooney? Sure. Okay. But he didn't. So there's that. And, you know, I mean, you have, on defense, you have Grady back. He's starting. Onyemata starting. Zach Harrison's starting. The other edge, okay, you can make a case that maybe you could have gotten a Latu or a Turner and started that guy at the edge. You could have started a guy at corner opposite of A.J. Terrell. So, you know, is Helms, I think they really like Helms. I think they like Helms enough that that really wasn't a spot that they were looking to draft a starter into, because you can't draft, you can only draft so many starters. I mean, you just, you can't, unless you're just devoid of talent, you're not drafting starters in the fourth round. You're just not. You're drafting guys that can be rotational guys, backup guys. You're not drafting starters in the fourth, unless they just pop, you know, and oh my God, this guy, we got to play him. But for the most part, I think you looked at an edge and a cornerback, and they said, why didn't you go get the, that's why we talk so much about it. Why is it Dallas Turner? Why is it Quinyon Mitchell? Those are the two spots we have to draft into for a starter on this team. You had two open spots, you know, an edge opposite Zach Harrison that's currently occupied by Lo Carter, and Ebikadi's out there with him. And so we can go get an edge guy there. Again, they had a different idea. When they drafted here, and you could sit here, somebody made the argument to me that they were forced to change the way they drafted because they chose to take Penix. And the moment they chose to take Penix, that forced them. I don't think so. I think they were always, even if they had taken an edge, let's say they had taken Dallas Turner at 8, just for the sake of our argument here, and not taken Michael Penix. I don't think they would have taken a quarterback till much later. I think they would have taken a quarterback. They would have been in the Spencer Rattler business, okay, in round 5. And in between, I still think they would have taken Rook. I still think they would have taken Dorless. I still think they would have taken Trice.
You're right. I would say this, John. There are two things that are immediately, obviously, from this draft. The fall off from the quarterbacks after those first 6 was dramatic, because to go to round 5 – and not see another quarterback go, that means obviously all those other guys were very, very, very not very, you know, well rated at all, highly rated. I mean, because I thought we'd at least see 1, maybe 3 or maybe 4. And I really thought Michael Pratt would go before some of those other guys. The guy from Kentucky, I mean, I know you follow SEC football, but I really didn't think he did much in his
Devin Leary.
His year. And then obviously, like we said, those defensive players did not go very high. So obviously, a lot of evaluators thought those defensive players were middle to lower round guys.
Well, again, I just stressed to you that when it comes to the draft, you have to trust your evaluation, your board, your needs, and in the way that Jimmy Lake is going to construct the defense, because it's really kind of critically important to understand that we are dealing with something that we don't know. I don't know it. You don't know it. Nobody's seen it. So they'll construct an offense. I like to tell a story. Always drives me crazy when a coach comes in, and I use a basketball reference in this story. Coach comes in, and he's like, I'm the new coach, you know? And he walks in, and he sees 6'7'3" guys. And he goes, oh, wow, look at you guys. I got 6'7'3" guys. All right, guys, I got news for you. The way I coach, we are a run-and-gun three-point shooting team.
And they go, Coach,
no, that's not what we do. I don't care that that's what you do. That's what I coach. You know, but that's not what we do. Yeah, but that's what I coach, so you're going to do it. Okay, that's not the way it works. So Raheem and Zach Robinson come into this, and they look at the offense without the quarterback, and they go, okay, I see what we've got. And what do we need to make the offense that you want to run work? Well, we need our Matt Stafford. And that's when they came out and said, elite processor, and we all went ding, 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 that's going to be Kirk Cousins. So once they got that, now we know that they're going to run a version of what the Rams did. This is why they made the moves they made here in terms of Ray McCloud and Rondale Moore, is because they fit in that kind of slot mode here, and that's what they need, to slot guys. So I think they're really comfortable about what they're going to do on offense. Now, on defense, it was a little bit different, and the defense was a little bit different because you had an opportunity to sort of change the defense a little bit. I think they're going to – the styling of the offense is going to change, but the personnel is not. Yeah. The defense could see a fairly dramatic shift up front, going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 kind of base and then flexing out of that. They could see a rather dramatic shift, and they needed to make changes into that shift because they needed to have beef in the middle there in order to not have to have Grady in the middle – and be able to slide Grady down the line a little bit to put him in situations where he might get one-on-one blocking by getting big, heavy guys, load guys in the middle to be able to eat space and maybe occupy a center and at least the half attention of a guard to let a guy like Gray. So you can increase the pass rush, this is what we're talking about today, by doing that, by push up the middle, and that's why I think a guy like Zion Logan has a chance to make the team. And Georgia fans, again, know Zion Logan. He is, that's what he does. You know, I mean, he's just a big hunk of a guy who sits there in the middle and just goes boom, and clogs everything up, and you can't do anything because he's so big and strong, you can't move him, and he's got a little bit of hops to him, and he could just make kind of life miserable for running backs trying to hit gaps between the guards and the center. And so he takes up all that space, and that's what, you know, they want Rook to do. And so then they bounce guys outside, and so that's at least the thought anyway. Of what they tried to do, because, again, the most surprising thing in this draft to me was that they went hard on the interior defensive line, which says to us that they're going to do something to that effect. What I laid out is they're probably sitting around in flyby branch. Oh, my God, that's not really exactly. But the point stands largely, okay? I'm not trying to – the point stands largely that they wanted to beef the middle of that from tackle to tackle on the offensive side of the football. The three guys they wanted to put in there, they needed more weight. They needed more beef. They need, you know, stout guys, you know, one or two, because you could put, you know, two in next to each other, and that would allow them to free up certain guys like veterans like an Onyemata or a Grady to bounce a little bit, to slide a little bit outside of that, to possibly slide even outside of that. And now suddenly you're going, well, you got Trice, but you didn't get anybody else. Well, what if I told you that instead of being like a super interior guy, that Grady was going to be a mid to an outside guy, and suddenly Grady's numbers go up because they're going to use him more as a pass rusher because he's so effective and you can get him out there. So, that, you know, this is the kind of maneuvering, and it also, by the way, goes to the secondary. It goes to the linebacking core. How are you going to use Ellis? How are you going to use Anderson? I know one of the people talked about J.D. Bertrand out of Blessed Trinity. Yeah, sure. I mean, come in but Landman is a big, tough kind of middle linebacker guy. That's what he does. You know, Nate Landman is a guy that can just anchor, again, the middle of that core of that, you know, linebacking style, because you're going to have, essentially, you're going to have five linebackers. All right? That's essentially what this is. You're going to have, you know, four to five linebackers on the field at every time because they're slash guys. They're outside linebackers to drop and outside linebackers to rush, right? I mean, is that fair enough, Eric? I mean, they're essentially dual purpose, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Everything you say is just gold.
Right. And so we'll see it, and it'll be interesting. Again, it'll be vanilla. When we see it, whenever they play their opening game, it'll be kind of interesting to watch what is the style of defense. And then maybe that'll make the process of what they did in the offseason here in both free agency and the draft makes sense to all of us, or makes sense to some of us. I think I've got a somewhat of a line on it, but I don't know. And then we have to see how it works. That's the other, you got to win. Caleb Johnson at the top of the hour. My thanks to all of you. You've been great. You were great today. I really appreciate your being part of the program here. Eric Slaughter, as always, my friend, thank you.
You're welcome, bud. See you next week, actually.
All righty. Yep. And I'm always available on the X at John Fricke, on Facebook at John Fricke, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Caleb Johnson is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.